When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Phone lines wide open for you at 888-957-9570. If you want to talk out anything with Farhan gone, Buster on the way in, we'll play a little bit more of the sound for you. Also, a little bit later this hour, before we get out of here, there are massive trade rumors swirling in the NFL, and I know that we'd like to get to that at one point. But tell me more about what you just said. We've seen legends get to the point where they've kind of been forced out before. Who are you thinking of?
Well, John Elway is one. Okay. I think when he was with the Broncos and he won a couple of Super Bowls and then he went to the front office and it didn't work out quite as well. And so after a certain amount of time, it was clear that they needed to go in a different direction. And so out he went. And I don't know if he was fired, but you have situations where legends take jobs and it doesn't really work out. Magic Johnson with the Lakers is another one.
But I at no point am I saying that that Buster Posey is just going to have this job for as long as he wants or for the rest of his life or anything like that. I'm simply saying that if it doesn't go well, the drumbeat for him to leave is going to sound way different than this one.
Oh, for sure.
And that was his only point. He goes, no matter how this goes, there will never be a Fire Buster hashtag. There won't be. He's Buster Posey. I'm not saying there should be.
Right. Well, whatever you want to qualify it as, hashtag or drumbeat, if he doesn't do well, if he struggles and they don't do well, and it's pretty clear that he's not cut out for the job, well, then they're going to have to make a decision. And he, as a part owner, he has a little bit more leash than somebody who isn't a part owner.
Of course,
sure.
Of course. There's also this, 415 just texted this in on the Comcast business text line. And I think that this is an interesting comment because this comment was made to me at the press conference as well by somebody who is a, let's just say an interesting voice.
Mm-hmm.
415 writes, after a stint at Pobo, Buster will likely replace Melvin at skipper. Now, I have no idea. And we asked even Kane that because Matt Kane said, I see him as a manager someday. He goes, but this is sort of backwards. You usually don't go from president of baseball operations to the manager of the team. That's pretty odd. I'll just tell you that while I was sitting there watching Buster, somebody who is close to the organization leans forward and goes, you're looking at the next manager of the Giants.
Wow.
It's just an opinion. It's not somebody in the position to make that call at all. But, I don't know to what level they were kind of kidding or throwing out a prediction or whatever. But far be it from me to say that that's off the table.
Of course.
I'm already surprised enough that this happened this quickly.
I think that he is more suited to that job than he is to this job. If you want to just look at it in a vacuum, Buster Posey as a manager of a baseball team versus the president of baseball ops, his skills that he has right now are far, far more suited to being a manager than they are to being the president of baseball ops. Having been a catcher, having played at the highest level, three World Series. We know that catchers are really good managers in general. I think a third of the managers in baseball right now are former catchers.
Is it really a third?
I'd have to do the math specifically, but
by the way, baseball managers to me are just like the numbers of the players here in town. Like, I don't even know how many managers in baseball I could name, but go ahead.
Well, you've got Stephen Vogt,
right,
who is a former catcher.
You've got Boach. And you've got Bo Mel.
Right.
Right.
That's three right there. Stephen Vogt.
That you can't name people twice. That doesn't work.
Yeah. Okay. A.J. Hinch.
Okay.
He's a former catcher.
I didn't even, who's he manage? I do not know managers.
He, look up to the left. He's a manager of the
ABC News is
the
on.
Tigers, I think.
Oh, okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I won't be able to fact check
Does
you at
Scott
all.
Does Scott Service still have a job? Or no, he lost his job this year.
David Ross
was. But he's a catcher.
Ross was a catcher, right? Right? And he was managing the Cubs. Is he still managing the Cubs? Not managing the Cubs anymore, right? He went down?
No, Craig Counsell now is the Cubs
manager. Counsell was an infielder. He's an infielder. Yep. Yeah. I don't know.
That's pretty good.
Feels like
so
this
far.
Conversation hit a wall.
Little bit of a wall. Bud Black, no. Yeah, did Mike, was Mike Schilt a catcher?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm kind of with you on managers. It's like sometimes I have to look. It's like, dude, oh my God. That guy's a manager?
If you just said, like, how many managers could I name along with their team, I'd set the over-under at like 5.5. Honestly don't know. Dave Roberts is still managing the Dodgers. I know that. Bo Mel's managing the Giants. We got Kotze managing the, I'm not sure what we're supposed to call them, A's.
I know, right?
Should we call them, remember, what did Washington, didn't they call themselves the Washington football team for a little while? Yeah. Should we just call them that? The Sacramento baseball team?
Well, that's what they're calling the Utah Hockey Club, if I'm not mistaken. The team that moved from Phoenix, the Phoenix Coyotes, are now the Utah Hockey Club.
Hockey Club. Okay, yes. Great. Anyway, you get my point.
Yeah.
I don't know any managers.
And you get my point.
Yeah.
You mentioned something earlier about timing, and I do think that that's a big thing in all of this as far as when you inherit a job, and I was thinking about the Golden State Warriors and Steve Kerr. And so I went back and tried to refresh my memory on Steve Kerr and what he inherited, because the year before he got the gig, they went 51-31 under hand down, man down, Mark Jackson.
Mama.
Went to the playoffs, lost in 7 to the Clippers.
Yep.
The roster, you had Harrison Barnes in his second year. You had Steph Curry, who was, at the time, he was 25 years old.
He's a good player.
Averaged 24 a game that year.
I like the pick.
I do, too. You had a 23-year-old Klay Thompson averaging 18.
Mm-hmm.
David Lee averaged 18. And you had just picked up a guy who would go on to be NBA Finals MVP a year later, Andre Iguodala. You had Barnes and Bogut and Draymond Green. And then you had such veterans as Jermaine O'Neal. And you had Jordan Crawford, a great player off the bench. Steve Kerr inherited quite a team. Now, a team that hadn't yet done it.
And, they were young.
Curry had bad ankles, and we didn't yet know how impactful Draymond Green would be, but it just made me think about timing. Buster Posey following Farhan Zaidi, much easier than following Sabian.
Absolutely. This is it's a sight for sore eyes. It's a sound for sore ears. It's everything that everybody wants to hear and see right now. So, of course, there's going to be a huge runway for Buster. But back to the manager idea, this is interesting. So this was the question that I asked him. I asked him, when did you know that a day-to-day operations role was something that you wanted to do? You moved the family here a couple of years ago. Was it then, or was this more of a recent development? This is the way that he kind of answered that question.
The move back honestly had nothing to do with what my future might look like with the Giants, which I think for us makes it all the more special, because it truly was a move back because we enjoy this area and we enjoy the friends that we've made in this area. And I think just over the last few weeks, months, we've been kind of talking through some different scenarios, and it's where we landed.
So here's why I play that right now. If I believe Buster, he will tell this story as something that came together very recently. So he just started thinking about this. He looked at the state of the Giants and thought, hey, I can do this. Well, then what would stop him in 3 years, 5 years? Hell, in 10 years, he won't even be 50 yet. Who knows what the situation's going to be, what it's going to look like. Is Bo Mel retiring? Is Bo Mel long gone? I don't know what the situation will be. And could Buster look at Kristen as the kids get older and say, hey, now I'm thinking about this. I'd like every 6 days to get on a plane and go to Cleveland and Chicago. And she might be like, great. So I don't know. I would argue if we're here,
yep,
everything's on the table.
For sure. And I would think that, you know, considering how young he is, 37, and how young his kids are, I think the older two are 10, 11, and the younger two are more in that 4 or 5 range. I would bet that you know, based on what I know about Buster, or at least what I think I know as a family man, that he'd want to stick around. And when you're the president of baseball operations, there is some travel, but it's not the same amount of travel as you get when you are a major league skipper and you're in Arizona for a month and then you're gone 81 times a year.
Looks like the Twins right now are 13.
Okay.
Or about to turn 13. And the adopted girls, remember this had happened right before COVID, and then were cited as the reason why he sat that season out. So they were adopted in 2020. And I think that they had recently been born. So they are probably
in that four or five range. Yeah. So yeah, I was about right. And I haven't seen him out and about in my circles that I travel in. So I thought that the older pair might be in the teenage years beyond youth sports realm, which is where I would see him occasionally in the past. But if you got a couple of kids who are 4 and 5 and, you know, you like your kids, I'm assuming he likes his kids. Seems like he likes his wife too. He referred to her a few times today.
Yep.
Managing for me seems a good 10 years away still. Maybe, but I could be wrong.
But again, or never. But again, by then, 10 years from now, guess what Buster will be? Still a very young manager.
Not even 50.
47 years old. Isn't that about what Shanahan is now? Isn't that about what he is? Shanahan looks like those Super Bowls have aged him a little bit, but isn't that about what he is? How old's Kyle? He's not 50
45,
yet.
No, I don't think he's even close.
Only 45?
He'll be 45 in December.
Wow. Wow.
Quietly, my list of managers who have caught is growing as I'm learning about all the managers in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
The Orioles skipper, Brandon Hyde, catcher. Stephen Vogt, catcher. A.J. Hinch, catcher.
Okay,
Matt Quatrero, Kansas City Royals, catcher.
You've literally said Stephen Vogt 4 times.
I've started the list over.
You can't just keep saying Stephen Vogt.
I've started
A.J.
over.
Hinch twice.
I believe in Stephen Vogt.
Over.
Yeah, but we got it already.
He's
got
a catcher.
That.
I don't know if you heard that.
Oh, Bob Melvin. Don't forget him.
I'm not there yet. My Bochy? Point was that I thought
there were
8 managers who were catchers, and I will start over. And when I get to 8, I'm going to walk all 3 of you off because I was right.
Not 5, not 6, not 7. How many baseball teams are there?
30 teams.
Okay.
And I said a fourth.
You said a third. Check the
tape. I did not say a third.
You did.
I said at least 8.
You said a third. You said a third of the league.
Grandy, go to the tape. It was at about 5 straight up.
Don't have to.
No,
you don't. I'm going to get to 8.
Mark me down for fading the Dibbers, though. I'm fading the Dibbers on this one for sure.
You don't even know these guys. Brandon Hyde, Stephen Vogt, A.J. Hinch, Matt Quatrero.
That's the 5th time you said Stephen Vogt.
I started over.
Who's the manager of the Orioles? What?
Matt Quatrero.
No, the first one. You keep saying Brandon Hyde.
He's like manager of the Orioles.
I have no clue who that is.
Former catcher.
The other problem here is you could just be making up names. Manager of the Twins, Bob Jablonski.
Rocco Baldelli, not a catcher.
Manager of the Pirates, Jim Sabloopty.
Yankees, Aaron Boone, not a catcher.
Catcher.
Mark Kotze, not a catcher.
Manager of the Royals, Joe Blackadookie.
Seattle Mariners.
Don't forget him.
Seattle Mariners.
What about him?
Dan Wilson. You know what position he played, Smarty Pants?
Relief pitcher.
He was in the squad. I'm at 5. Dan Wilson, 5. Bruce Bochy, 6.
Was he a part of Wilson Phillips?
I'm only in the American League, and I've already gotten to 6.
I can confirm you said a third of the league's managers.
Fade the Dibbers!
I need 4 more.
You're not going to get
Torrey
there.
Torrey Lavullo.
You're just naming names.
These are actual managers.
I know.
Torrey Lavullo, not a catcher. I need 4 more.
You sound like you're
Brian
doing
Snitker?
The baseball version of the Maury Povich show right now.
Did Snitker
you
ever catch?
Are not a catcher.
Hold on. Let me find Snitker.
Stop it. I'm going to take a call while you find catchers.
Did Snitker ever catch?
Let's go to GPD in Hayward. What's up, Grandpa Daddy?
Hey, what's up? Go,
Sakina. Say it. Say it!
Sakina!
Say it!
Sakina, say it! Say it, Sakina! Oh, she can't.
Oh,
she was going to say,
man.
Hi, Mark and Grandpa Dibbies. That was her cue.
She wasn't going to say it. Yeah.
A lot of pressure.
I know. I just picked her up from school. She's freaking falling asleep in the backseat.
Hey, GPD, we got to give you 10 more seconds because Ryan Vogelsong just called. But go ahead.
just want to know. I just want to know. Dippers, why are you the pessimist? I mean, the pessimist. And Mark is the optimist. Can we just enjoy this moment and just say Buster Posey is going to do a great job, baby? And let's go, Giants! Dibs! Don't be the pessimist!
Grandpa Daddy, I have not been pessimistic at all. I like the hire. I like the player.
I like the pick.
I love the hire. I'm not being pessimistic at all. I don't know
why
where that's coming from.
Why have you been ripping Buster Posey all day?
There you go.
What's the matter with you?
There you go.
All right, let's go to the River Islands guest line.
I'm running out of catchers who manage.
Ryan Vogelsong is with us on the show and excited to have him. Hey, Vogie, what's up?
What's going on, guys? Hey, I got to apologize. I thought this interview was supposed to be for tomorrow night. I was at Riders baseball practice, so I have to apologize for being not where I was supposed to be when I was supposed to be there.
Buddy, you're such a gem. Like, it's all good, and the fact that you called in anyway when you could is great. And how did baseball practice go?
We're getting there, man. We're going to be all right. Slowly but surely, it's process, right?
Does your team need a new pessimist, Dibs?
Vogie, I don't know why these people are so down on me. You know what, Vogie? I'll say it. Buster Posey, he's overrated. There, are you happy?
Oh, jeez. I'm probably not gonna finish the interview now.
Yeah. No, Vogie, I'm not. I'm not pessimistic. I'm actually excited about this. The turning of the page. My only thing is, we don't really know if he's going to be great. We hope he's going to be great. We think he's going to be great. I'm going to wait and see a little bit, Vogie. That's all.
Hey, my question is, what hasn't he not been great at so far?
What about that, Dibbers?
Hitting left-handed.
You don't know that.
Maybe he is. Have we ever seen him? I'm sure if he tried, he's probably great at it.
He's probably great at it. He's been great at everything, and he is a forever Giant. And we were talking about this yesterday. He's on the Rushmore of favorite Giants and great Giants. And so, yeah, there's no way anybody could be pessimistic. I'm super stoked, but what do you think is going to be the one thing that he's going to be just super great at?
Man, listen, I obviously have known him for quite a while now, and have a really good relationship with him. Off the field as well as we had on. He's just a solid person, and he's just talented and he's smart. I think he's one of those guys that he is going to excel at anything that he puts his toe in the water with. And I think this is a great position for him to be in. I think it's going to come with its challenges. It's going to, but I think he's going to crush it. Like, if something's tough for him, he's going to figure out how to get it done. I mean, it's what he's done his whole life. So I'm not saying this is going to be smooth sailing all the way through. Listen, hopefully it is. Hopefully the transition is great and he nails it and hits the ground running. But there's going to be some bumps in the road, just like there is with anything in life. But I think he's going to, from his playing days and, you know, raising a family, like, he gets it, you know. Sometimes there's a wall in front of you. You figure out how to go through it, around it, or over it. So I think that he's going to crush it like he does everything else.
Ryan, have you talked to him? And if so, how did that go?
Yeah, I talked to him last night for about 30 minutes, and I just wanted him to hear me say congratulations in person on the phone and not through a text message. And I told him that. I said, hey, I could have texted you, but I'm not a big fan of text messaging because the emotion doesn't come through. So I just told him, hey, I wanted you to hear my voice and how happy I am for you and excited. And, you know, we talked a little bit and talked about, you know, some stuff that's in front of him and, you know, talked about some things in the system right now that I saw when, you know, traveling around the minor leagues this year. And we had a great conversation. We talked about our kids. We talked about our wives. It was a very friend-related conversation and a little bit of work.
Okay, and in that little bit of work part, did we discuss an expanded role for Ryan Vogelsong?
We did not. We did not. I just told him that I've always had his back. I will always have his back, and that I am on his call anytime he needs me, any time of day, anytime, anywhere, when he needs questions or just needs to talk or vent or whatever, that I'm here for him and got his back in every aspect.
When you look at the job that he is going to undertake, and a lot of it comes from the farm, obviously, is trying to get the youngsters to be built up to be major leaguers. How big is the task ahead to try to restore the farm system to be one of the top ones in baseball?
Listen, it's going to take some work, and we talked about that. There's some work involved here. We need to get better at some things, and he understands that, and we talked about that last night. It's not out of the realm that it could come very, very quickly, but we got some work to do, and I think that the leader that I know he is, he is going to make the transition, and that go exceedingly quick, because he's going to lead, and he's going to demand what he wants Giants baseball to, he knows it's supposed to look like, and what he feels it's supposed to look like, and what he knows it's supposed to look like. So that's why I'm very confident that he's going to be really good at this, because he knows what he wants his product to be.
Ryan Vogelsong is with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. So, Vogie, this is interesting when you're talking about traveling around and seeing things within the organization and then talking that out with Buster last night. I wonder if you could expand on that a little bit for our audience. What do you see that that needs to change? What are some of those challenges?
I think first and foremost, like, we just – As an organization, I think we just have to get back to being a little bit more fundamentally sound and just be a little bit more detail-oriented in the small things. I think sometimes, and it's not just us, this is everybody, and I deal with this when I'm coaching my son's kids too, like, we want everything super fast, and we see the big picture and lose sight of the small things sometimes, right? So I think we just got to refocus on executing some of the small fundamental things a little bit better. And when you can do that, the big things come into play. So I think that's the number one thing. I do like what I saw from our pitchers this summer traveling around. I feel like we're really starting to understand the importance of pitching again and not throwing, and executing pitches and changing speeds and understanding what swings look like, and not just trying to throw the ball as hard as we can all the time and throw the nastiest slider we can all the time. So I really like the direction that our pitching's going in on the minor league level. And you put those things together and it starts sounding like championship baseball, right?
Is that something that's organizational in terms of philosophy, not only the kind of pitcher you want to bring into the organization, but also how to pitch? Is that something that will be underneath Buster Posey's purview and something that will matriculate all the way down to the lowest levels?
I can't tell you what he is going to have his grasp on. We did not get into that. But I do know that Buster is, like I said, he's super smart, and I do know that Buster knows he's going to have to surround himself with some people. And I'm sure if that's something that he feels like he needs to delegate a little bit, then he will. But to your first question, I will say that when we were in the previous coaching staff and some of the pitching direction we had then, it was much different than it is now. It was more velocity-based, spin rates, throwing your best pitch as many times as you could, and I think we lost some of the pitchability. And when Bo Mel and Brian came in, it was one thing that they preached to a lot to us in spring training and to the guys about pitchability again and being able to read swings and making adjustments on your own without staring at the iPad. And that doesn't mean that the iPad is not valuable and doesn't have great information, but you don't have an iPad when you're pitching in the game on the mound with you. So there is some experience and lessons learned in being able to see what a pitch is doing with your eyes and not have to look at an iPad all the time. So that's where the transition from the pitching philosophies did change a little bit, because the prior regime, that was their philosophy. So, and listen, that's the one thing I've always said. If you have a philosophy and you believe in it, you have to go to battle with what you believe in, because if it doesn't work out, you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, I did it the way I thought it was right. So if it doesn't work, you can be okay with yourself, right? So the new regime comes in, and pitching philosophy has gone back a little bit and not getting away from what everyone else is doing, but like I said, more pitchability, more understanding swings, more executing pitches, more being a pitcher that can read what he sees with his eyes and not having to look at the data all the time.
Ryan Vogelsong with us on 95.7 The Game. Vogey, what does this announcement yesterday do for the morale of the entire organization?
I think it should shoot it through the roof, to be honest. But, you know, my relationship with Buster is different than most. I mean, there's probably 50 or so people that he was in that locker room with that, you know, maybe less that had saw him a little bit differently than the rest of the people. So I'm probably have a little bit more excitement, and some of our former teammates probably have a little bit more excitement because we know the quality that we're going to see again. And, but I think if you're just a normal fan and you're a Giants fan, I think you should be super excited that he wants to make this thing good, right? He's not just sitting on the sideline, not doing anything about it. He cares about the Giants. He's a Giant. He loves the Giants organization, and he wants to see the Giants get back to where this organization should be. And I think that should make everyone extremely happy.
And I think people are excited about the idea of more of you guys coming back around and getting it that feel that we had, you know, 10 years ago when you won the last World Series. And I'm also hoping that it becomes more of a balance between analytics and the old school humanity of baseball. Do you think that Buster will lean more toward the old school approach as opposed to the previous regime and the new school analytics approach?
Well, I'll tell you this. Bob Melvin and his staff have done a tremendous job in both of those aspects. He has been very, very good and very open about former players coming back and being in the clubhouse, being on the field before the game, coming to spring training. And not just guys like myself that obviously have a role in the organization. He loves it when guys that played for the Giants come back and want to be on the field for batting practice and talk to guys. He has told me all the time, many times, like, I want you here as much as you can be. And I know he's reiterated that to a lot of guys. So that is already in play. And the second part of the question is that aspect is already in play as well. And Bo Mel has preached this too. Like, we can't get one-sided in this game. We can't be all baseball and we can't be all analytical. We have to mesh the two together and be the best we can be at both sides of it. So to answer your question, I think Buster probably, without putting words in his mouth, just the little conversations we had, he believes in all of that. And it's already being put in place by Bo Mel and his staff. So we're already heading in the right track. But I do know this. Buster Posey wants baseball players. He wants guys that want to get on the field and get after it. And I think you can see why Matt Chapman got signed to a long-term extension, because that's what Matt Chapman is. And I know Buster loves baseball players like that. So to answer your question, I think he's going to try and mesh the two together as best we can. The best he can, to put the guys on the field that are going to play baseball and execute what he believes is Giants baseball.
Vogey, this is not obviously your role, but I would love your input. Like, you're in the process, the team is in the process of building and making changes. There are some obvious holes on the field, whether it's shortstop, maybe one outfield spot, we'll see. But in a general sense, what do you think is the right way for this particular group to sort of build whatever it needs to build? Free agency, trade, farm system? What's the priority?
Oh, man. You're throwing some toughies at me tonight, boys.
Hey, man.
I just got done with like 14, 15-year-olds at practice.
I know.
I wasn't really prepared for these tough questions, but hey, I'll take it.
We had an hour to think of some really hard ones to come at you.
That's a great counterpoint right there.
And, hey, and because I didn't call on time, I'm absolutely okay with it. So, listen, I wish I had the perfect answer for you on that, and I'm not sure I do, because I myself don't know what the best way to do it is. I think we have to be excited about what productivity we did get from some of our younger guys this year. I think that we have to be excited about that. I think that we have to be excited that we have Matt Chapman in an extension, and we have a leader in the clubhouse, in the field, and the way he plays on the field is a direct, exactly what we want to see players play like. And he is a great example for the young guys. As far as through trades and free agency, I think you just like the analytics in baseball, like I think you have to mesh all these together. I don't think you can say we're throwing all of our eggs in one basket and this is the direction we're going to go. I think there has to be a blend. You have to do a little bit in free agency. You probably have to try and do some trades. And we got to continue to have our farm system produce players at the major league level. I think that's the most truthful answer I can give you.
That's a fair one. Absolutely. Bogey, before you go, especially as someone who threw to him, you know, we're talking so much about Buster Posey and leadership. Can you give us a moment that's just like a memory of yours or a moment that he helped you? Like Buster the leader, is there something that pops in your mind when you think back to that in your playing days together?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple, and I'll make them quick because I don't know how much time we have, but the first one is, a lot of people ask me this all the time, and it's, what did y'all talk about when he came to the mound? And, you know, people think that we would tell a joke or whatever. Well, you guys know, watch me pitch, like, I wasn't to come out and tell me a joke guy, right? I think some guys, he might have come out there and tried to make them laugh to relax a little bit, but he obviously knew that that wasn't my thing. And so for me, a lot of the times he would come out and he would just like, hey, we're going to slow the game down. You're going to walk around. I'm going to walk back as slow as I can. You're going to take a lap around behind the mound. Get yourself relocked in, and we're just going to slow everything down. And once you get going, we'll start speeding back up. So he was just very good about knowing every guy and what made those guys tick when stuff started hitting the fan. So, and then the other one was, we were playing the Twins in Interleague in 2014 Interleague against the Twins. And he was banged up, bad hamstring, bad back. I think his knee was barking a little bit because he took a foul tip. And obviously I never talked to guys before the game. And once I went on the field, no one definitely talked to me. He didn't even talk to me once I got on the field. Rags and Gardy didn't even talk to me once I went out to warm up. So I'm down in the left field corner stretching, and he came walking out there, and he kept walking towards me. I'm like, what's going on? Something's up tonight, because he never does this. So he came over to me. He goes, hey, I know you don't want to talk to me, but I have to tell you something. And I go, what's up? And he's like, I feel really bad. I've been in the training room for the last 48 hours just trying to get myself ready to play this game tonight. And he goes, I have not had a chance to look at these hitters at all. And he's like, but the only reason I did that is because I know that you prepare so well. So I could get myself ready to play tonight because I know that you've taken care of what you need to do. And he goes, just tell me what you got. So in about as fast as I could, in 2.5 minutes, I went through the entire lineup, told him exactly what I wanted to do to every single guy. And I said, hey, if they pinch hit for somebody, just call timeout and come out and I'll tell you what we're going to do to them. Guys, he didn't miss. I didn't shake him off the entire night. And I threw 7 shutout innings that night, and I didn't shake my head one time. He didn't miss one pitch for 7 innings.
Man.
So that just tells you what kind of baseball intelligence we're working with and why that should also make us excited. Because he's smart to begin with, but he is baseball smart. He is person smart. He's relationship smart. Like, he just has all the factors, guys, that should make everyone extremely excited that this thing is going to go really well. So that's my little how cool Buster Posey is moment.
That's a pretty cool story.
You're worth the wait, Ryan.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. And then once again, I'm going to apologize.
No.
I've gotten a lot of requests to talk about Buster over the last 24 hours, and I read the text and I thought it said for tomorrow. So once again, I'm going to apologize. And I'm just glad that it worked out that I could get on tonight with y'all.
You are all good and you are welcome anytime. And we thank you so much for doing it.
No problem. Always a pleasure, boys. Always a pleasure.
Yep. I hope we do it again soon. Yep. All right. Thanks so much.
You got it.
All right. That's Vogie. And by the way,
that's a pretty cool story.
I'll only share this just because of what took place. Like, next time he comes on, ask him to share the story of him in a cab in Detroit during the World Series in 2012. From the year that I was blessed with the opportunity to host the Inside Giant Moments podcast in the middle of COVID, when we were just sitting at home recording things with different Giants, that man right there, that is the best storyteller of the last 20 years of Giants baseball. Ryan Vogelsong.
That's probably, his 14th best story that he can tell? That story was awesome.
Correct. He is, you just heard it.
Yeah.
He's so great. Lucas, you could book him any day. Yep. And I don't care what hour he comes on. He's fantastic.
That was a great story. Buster, 48 hours in the training room, didn't do his homework. Vogie gives him a 2.5-minute speed recap. Buster doesn't miss a pitch.
If you said go over the last, 20 years of Giants baseball, pick one guy you want to have a beer with and remove the star factor, like Bonds, Buster,
Lincecum,
whatever. Yeah. Remove that. Just who do you want to have a beer with? There's my pick.
That's your guy.
Bogey.
Okay.
Yep.
Good, solid dude.
Oh, my goodness.
Comes in cracking me for being a pessimist. I'm not even being pessimistic today, Grandpa Daddy.
That was pretty funny.
That was very funny. Had me on my heels.
We're sponsored by Safeway. Plenty of time for you to weigh in. 888-957-9570. But in addition to Buster and Giants, we will squeeze in a little bit about the hot trade rumor in the NFL. That's next on Willard and Dibs.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Quite a day.
Yeah. Kaner,
quite a day. Kaner,
Vogie,
Kaner and Vogie.
Posey.
Buster.
And you there in the flesh.
Got to go do the darn thing.
And an early question, too. The third questioner.
I caught the eye.
Number three.
I caught the eye of the man in charge early.
Well, you and I talked yesterday about your strategy, and I thought, you'd probably be about 10th or 11th because you're smart and respectful. And normally you let the beat people go, the everyday folks go. You used to be one of them, so you have gravitas. You are well-respected. And I was listening on 95.7 The Game on the drive-in, and I heard, let's go over to the right side, and Mark. And I thought, Mark?
Yeah.
Ibanez?
Mark Pavlovich?
Yeah.
Mark Bagley?
And then I was wondering at first, I'm like, is this our Mark? And then I heard, Just a question.
No, hey, Buster.
I heard that. I'm like, it's my guy.
Yeah, no, Sluss.
That's my quarterback.
Sluss made it very clear. She caught the eyes, and she was sitting front and center, and she's like, I got this. I'm a Jung-Hoo lead this.
Yep.
I'm going to be the lead off. And everybody's like, yes, of course.
Former president of the Baseball Writers Association of America.
You do that.
The grand dame of baseball writers.
Pavlovich was waiting a little bit back right. I think he wanted to take some things in. I was sitting next to Bags. Bags was you know, same thing, was on Twitter and just, I think, you know, was waiting for some newsy items. And so then it went over to Janie. And then, you know, yeah, I was ready.
You saw
I was
it ready. Opening.
Yeah. I didn't think I'd be batting third, but that's the way it fell.
And you delivered. So, it's a good, solid question and a good, solid answer.
We had a few questions to ask, and we didn't get to all of them, but that's okay. There are years to come. It's not the end of the big day, though. First of all, I'm told that you have a victory lap you want to go on.
Yeah, and I don't want to make too big a deal out of it, but I rule, and all you fools drool.
Well, hold that. That's a good tease. Okay. I do also want to say, and you'll hate this, but I am going to use 10 seconds of our airtime to do something that I'm going to do in person here as soon as we leave here. But I am going to say happy 3 year to my lovely Christy. We've been dating for 3 years as of today.
I won't hate that. That's awesome.
So we are going straight to dinner from here.
Number 3.
Wanted to say that on the air.
That's so sweet. I've
been thinking about her all day, and I love you very much, and I'm on my way here in a few.
I'm slightly offended that you think that I wouldn't like it. You and I joke around a little bit about huggy, huggy, kiss.
You hate our relationship.
That's right. Because I'm down on both of you. I spend the majority of my life with you and I adore her.
You hate us.
So there you go.
Babe, I'm coming. That's right.
I do sometimes roll my eyes at the hand-holding and the canoodling.
Might want to stay off Instagram in about 2 hours there. At MT Willard. Yes. At MT Willard. Stay off IG.
If I can just spend 10 seconds on your 10
dinner,
seconds.
Dibs. We're going to dinner.
The definition of adorbs is you two will take a picture, you post it, and then she'll repost your posting or vice versa.
Yep.
And it's just so adorable.
And then we'll comment on our own picture
it
that's posted by somebody else.
On and on
it's
to
just,
the break of dawn. Gross. No, it's adorable, and I'm happy for both of you.
Anyway.
It's great.
Now we're ready for your victory lap.
I said earlier in the program, earlier this hour, that you know, catchers are good managers, and it feels like a third of the league is managed by catchers.
Can we start with the fact that then you tried to walk back your own statement and change it to a fourth, and you got mad at me when I correctly said you said a third.
8 out of 30 is more than a fourth, but your point is well taken.
Yeah.
7.5 would be a fourth, and I just honestly thought that I said 8. And then you said, no, you said a third. And Grady, I can confirm, you said a third. It's like, you know
I don't sound like that.
No, but it's...
Not at all.
And then Lucas, you're wrong, Gibbs is wrong, which is like the parrot of the show. He only jumps in when it's safe to jump in.
And I do sound like that.
He's the classic dogpiler where somebody's down and there's two people on top and he'll come off the top rope. Well, I did my homework. Yeah. Turns out there are 12 current managers who are former catchers.
Okay.
And I won't run through the list because I've said Steven Vogt so many times.
First of all, there's no way for us to fact check you because you're going to bring up a bunch of names that sound like you're reading off from the Elks Club roster.
You're sure you're not counting Steven Vogt like five times?
Seriously, five times.
If I can. Brandon Hyde, Steven Vogt, AJ Hinch, Matt Quatrero.
I don't know who Matt is.
Dan Wilson.
Yeah.
Dan Wilson. Kevin
Cash.
You can't
say him twice.
Bruce Bochy, John Schneider, Ryan Snitker, Rob Thompson, Derek Shelton, and Bob Melvin.
Okay. That's
12.
Now, here's the thing.
12 out of 30. That's 60.
You think
40%.
You think you're going on a victory lap.
I just did.
I'm offended, but not as offended as the person who should be offended.
Vogel?
You literally spent the Ryan Vogel song interview Googling Major League managers and what position they played, as opposed to listening to Ryan. Don't worry, Dibs, you can go to YouTube or the Odyssey app to listen to the interview with Ryan Vogelsong whenever you're ready. Now that you're done Googling Major League Baseball managers and their positions.
First of all, it's Wikipedia that I used. Second of all,
that's probably not even real then.
This coming from a guy who, if there's any interesting sporting event on TV, is locked on that as I'm giving up sports opinion after sports opinion.
We are sports radio hosts.
Right.
I need to take the 4 minutes a night that you talk and actually find out what's going on in the world.
Our ability to multitask, yours and mine, is second to none. So I can listen to Vogue spin a yarn. I can listen to your 90-second question while also starting my victory lap.
I don't ask 90-second questions. I give 90-minute takes.
That's my fault.
Don't ask 90-second questions.
Anyway.
Padres are already up 2-0.
See, there you go.
Tatis. Yeah. Home run. Hit it hard.
I'm looking forward to these baseball playoffs, even though the Giants aren't in it.
Yeah, whatever. Beat the Dodgers and wake me when it's over.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, we're knee-deep in football, and Davante Adams both wants a trade, and apparently the Raiders want to trade him. That's basically what I got out of today. If you haven't followed kind of the tour of this over the last 48 hours, this is kind of how it went. Some website tweets out that Davante Adams may have played his last day with the Raiders, and Antonio Pierce freaking liked it. Liked it. Now, quick aside, I don't care if Devontae's going to get traded or not. I would like to pat myself on the... I want to take my own victory lap for when Antonio Pierce, I think, stuck his foot in his mouth and talked out of turn by suggesting that he would tell Tua Tagovailoa that he should retire. I don't care if that sounds nice or correct or healthy to any of you. It is not the place of an opposing head coach in the NFL to publicly state that another team's 50-some-odd million-dollar investment per year should leave the sport. Not his place. And he proved again this week that I don't care how rah-rah he is or how much you like the way he handles things, he ain't ready to be a head coach.
Agreed.
You're liking stuff on Instagram that's talking about your stars being traded? Not cool. But anyway, he did, and the follow-up has now been Davante Adams goes on with Kay Adams, no relation, and says, I have not heard any communication from the team whatsoever, which was clue number 8,000 that Davante and the Raiders ain't getting along. Since then, Mike Garofalo, he has requested a trade, and the Raiders, Adam Schefter, have followed up by publicly stating, at least to Schefter, yes, we are open to trades, and we would like at least a second-round draft pick.
So that's it?
At least, yeah. For starters.
Yeah.
They know they're not getting a one.
Well,
he's in his 30s. He's making a bajillion dollars.
Pretty damn good.
Very good. But anyway,
to your point, though, about the overvaluing of wide receivers, as we've seen through 4 weeks in the NFL, a lot of relative no-name receivers are doing just fine for their teams, and those teams are winning. So I don't know what the market will be. I don't know if you saw the other hot name today being thrown around, but a lot of talk about Trey Lance and why doesn't Miami make a play for Trey Lance?
Oh, gosh.
And that's because Miami is desperate for a quarterback, right, and what they have is not good, and they're at the portion of the season where they're willing to go after anything.
I mean, then get someone who's played NFL football games before.
Josh Dobbs.
Josh Dobbs is an interesting answer.
Yep.
Ryan Tannehill is an interesting answer. I'd call the Steelers and freak out about Russell Wilson if I were the Miami Dolphins.
Yep.
And by the way, I know where people's minds go with Devontae if you're a 49ers fan is, hey, Ayuk for Devontae? I'd be shocked if that happened. I don't think the 49ers are as down on Brandon as the world is because of four sort of lackluster starts. 4 weeks ago, they signed him to $30 million a year. I don't think that their stance on that has widely changed. I don't think the red shorts did that. But anyway, I mean, it's an interesting, fun idea. I would much more predict that Devontae would end up with, like, say, the Buffalo Bills or the Pittsburgh Steelers.
One.
Those are teams that I think should call the Raiders and offer up what they want.
Maybe even Minnesota. Can you imagine that 1-2 punch?
Well, I mean, Jordan Addison, do they want to spend
Right. Like, well, suddenly are in a championship window.
I know, but now you're north of $60 million in your wide receiver room.
For a year.
And Jordan Addison. Now you stunt the growth of a young player.
I think Devontae Adams, no matter who gets him, it's probably this year, and then he gets cut, and then you take a small cap hit, and Devontae has to go out there and get a new deal. No matter who acquires him, if the Raiders do trade him, but, man, that Raider thing, every time it looks like they might be getting something together and looking like they're going to be decent, something blows up in their face.
Greg Cosell on the show tomorrow. We're working on some big giant stuff as well. Grandy, what are you doing?
If you missed the Buster Posey press conference from earlier today on Steiny and Goo, you'll get to hear it coming up next.
You get to hear it as well. Are you going to play Volgy so Dibs can hear the interview?
I heard every bit of it. How dare you?
The Posey presser is pretty long. I'm not sure we'll have time.
All right, we'll stick with that.
Well, 12. 12.
Pay
is
close
the answer.
Attention to win. Question number 3. You want to do it again tomorrow?
I'll get back to you.
All right.
Well, number 3.
I'll text you later. Okay. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.